Amen. Praise God. Now, we've been looking at what? Any title? Huh? Okay, faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of us are putting to use? What did I say? How many of God? How many of us are putting to use what we are learning? Praise God. How many of us are stirred up to believe God for big things? Oh, just a few of us. Okay. Hallelujah. Say, I have the faith of the Son of God. I don't have a problem with faith. I don't have a problem with believing God. I'm a believer already. Hallelujah. Okay. So, we'll just continue just to stir us up again. Hallelujah. And I said, we're not going to be done until the average person here is just strong on faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. That when you talk, we hear faith. Praise God. Okay. Mark 11. Better still, Ken Hagin 11. Praise God. That was a joke. Okay. Mark 11:22. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And we said, that should be, have the faith of God, right? That is, have the faith of God. Amen. So Jesus looks at them and says, have God's faith. Right? Have faith that belongs to God. Hallelujah. And we saw that what brought about this was the account from verse 12. That Jesus was coming from Bethany and then saw a fig tree, wanted to eat and found no figs and spoke to it. And we saw something that Jesus answered the tree, right? Amen. Do you answer someone that has not spoken to you? You answer, or better still, an answer is a reply. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's no account where the tree spoke. Amen. But we come to realize that events, persons, things, places speak to us. Hallelujah. Because how I try to explain this was that when, just as I'm communicating to you now, for example, and I said, for example, what was in your mind? Was it F-O-U-R? Or when I say dog, what comes to mind first? Is it D-O-G? Or the picture of the dog you have at home? Or the one in the neighborhood? Or the one that chased you down the street when you were young and you never forgot the kind of dog that was? Or something. That's what comes. Even though as I pronounce D-O-G. Hallelujah. In other words, we use words to communicate pictures, to communicate a message. So I will say a whole lot of things, but I'm trying to get to your thoughts. Okay? So, events will turn out in a way that they will bring a message to you. Hallelujah. So, the fig tree brought a message to Jesus, and Jesus had to answer. Alright? Situations of life will talk to you. Some situations will tell you that you're broke. Hallelujah. Some situations will tell you that there is no place for you. Some situations will tell you that it will take you a while before you can achieve your desires. Some situations will tell you you are not getting a job anytime soon. Are you listening? Some situations will tell you you are going to have to struggle to make it. Some situations will tell you that you are an unserious Christian. Even though at times that could be a good situation. Amen. Praise God. You know, you can't just sit down on your seat. in front of the TV and say, I'm a serious Christian. I'm a serious Christian. Okay? Some situations will tell you things. Tell you that you're sick and you're going to die. The doctor's report will say, you know, and they have a way of saying it straight. No time for you to believe, except for nice ones. Just tell you how it is. You know, and the best they can do is not tell the person involved, tell the other family. And just say, it is like this. The hole in his heart is big. And it won't last long. We give him 3 months. Imagine. You give him 3 months. Hallelujah. So what Jesus did as that tree spoke to him, I didn't say the tree spoke. So you now expect me to show you what the tree said. Alright? But you understand what I said so far. Situations will communicate a message to you. Jesus wanted to eat, he was hungry, and he found no figs on the tree. That was a message to him. So you mean, I can't eat from you? Hallelujah. What did Jesus do? He spoke. He spoke. And then see what happened again. They went away, and when they were returning the following day, Peter now noticed that, hey, master, the tree that you cursed is dried from the roots. How did he know that he cursed the tree? That's Peter's words. Jesus didn't curse the tree. Okay? Peter said that Jesus cursed the tree. Why? Because they heard when Jesus spoke, no man eat of thee thereafter. He didn't say, and then he left. If that's what he did, what will happen? What will be the record? It will be said that the disciples saw it. Right? But it was said that the disciples heard. Hallelujah. Amen. The disciples heard. So he spoke and they heard. But notice something, that the tree did not dry up immediately. It took a while, right? Are you listening? It took a while. Some of us have pushed ourselves out of faith because we felt faith is a supernatural tool, which it is, that does things now. Everybody says sharp, sharp. You know, that's what we think of faith. If I would say to this lectern, be thou removed and be thou cast into where? The toilet. And I shall not doubt, but believe that what I say will come to pass, I'll have whatsoever I say. So I say, lectern, out of this place, get to the toilet. And then we're all waiting. Say, pastor, continue your message. It's not good. Why? Because we expect it to leave right now. But look at Jesus' example. It took the following day for them to realize, of course they were not there, okay, but to realize that the tree has now dried up. I believe they must have spent a while. I'm not saying so long a while. But at least they must have gone to the tree, found nothing, and then he spoke to it. And even if it's 10 minutes, they must have still been around. And then walked away and walked away, walked away. You know, they were not driving a formatic Benz such that it would have taken seconds to be out of that place. So they had to walk and all that. So it took a while before what Jesus said happened. Many of us will say things and just in 2 hours, your confession has changed. Like the fathers will always say, faith is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Hallelujah. Get-rich-quick scheme. That's not what faith is. Oh, you're broke. Come to church. Learn faith so that you can be rich. Faith is not a panic button. When you've tried all you could and you couldn't take care of it, press the button. And then some supernatural guy will just show up and boom, 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 take care of it. No! Faith is the life we've been called to live. Are you listening? Whether situation is good or bad, would always be in faith. So, like I told you, when was that? Was it Sunday? That a woman brought a child to a meeting. The child's legs were like rubber. In other words, as if there were no bones. So the child couldn't walk. Paralyzed at a tender age. And the mother brought the child to the meeting, and the man of God laid hands and said, in the name of Jesus be healed, or whatever, said something. And there and then, nothing happened. Are we saying that everything has to take a process? No. How many of you know the power of God is tangible? Praise God. Get things done at that instant. Praise God. Or lay hands and said, be healed. And the mom took the child away. The night, child's leg was still like rubber. The night passed, the child was still like that. But you know what the woman did? She kept saying that hands were laid on you and the power of God ran through you. Therefore, these legs will walk. Every day until the 8th month when the child got up by himself. Praise God. How many of you are resilient enough to stay in faith? Sorry for asking like that. But I think it's worth asking. How many of you are resilient enough to stay in faith? Faith is not a panic button. Something is wrong, let's get faith to do it. But when things are fine, we go our own ways. We do other things. Hallelujah. Yeah, faith can take care of the troubles. But that should not be your disposition towards faith. That until there's problem, that's when you try to stay in faith. You know, someone will come and say, I have this issue, and it's been happening for a while. And don't get me wrong, I have faith, but what are you saying? You know, let me help you. People that say they have faith, don't. Hallelujah. It's just like there's a suicide bomber coming towards you, coming towards your property, and you have a license gun. And once he enters your property, he has breached protocol, and you have the right to fire. And you are saying, I have a gun. It's M16. It is a great gun. It can shoot that suicide bomber as it's coming. What's the proof that you have a gun? Bring it out and shoot the guy. Hallelujah. So if you have faith, we'll see it. Hallelujah. If you have faith, you are not the one that will say it. We will say it for you. See, that guy has faith. I know we make confessions and say, I have the faith of the Son of God. Yeah, so that is to bring us to consciousness of what we have. But when it comes to life situations, you don't shout you have faith. You don't talk faith in your head. You use the faith that you have. Hallelujah. Okay, I didn't plan to go that way, but let's continue. So, verse 23, Mark 11, are you there? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So Jesus says something that whosoever shall say, and let me say this, Whosoever is not whosoever. Whosoever is whosoever that has the faith of God. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Not just any guy on the street. Okay? Whosoever that has the faith of the Son of God shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and what? Shall not doubt in his heart. But what? Believe that the things that he what? Saith. The things that he continues to say. Hallelujah. Shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he continues to say. Why am I still feeling funny? I spoke God's word yesterday. Yesterday? It's today. Wake up and speak faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you said I'm healed yesterday, you still say I'm healed now. That's the person that will have what he said. Or what he said. The person that keeps saying will have what he said. Why? That's the person that believes in his heart. Are you with me? Okay. Now, go to Matthew 21. Let's look at that account. Or that same event in Matthew's account. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. So it's either is faith or doubt. You shall not, do this which is done to the fig tree. Oh, you see that? So Jesus is saying that this is how it works. If you have faith and doubt not, you will not only do the same to the fig tree, you can also do to a mountain, out of here and into the sea. What will happen? It shall be done. Are you there? It shall be done. It shall be done. Now, Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And you could just read a few verses before you would see what he was talking about. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, let's read together, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hallelujah. So he says, if it's faith, and you are able to speak and not doubt, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Did you see that? Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Whatever you say will happen. So like I always say, after seeing all this, what the reasonable mind should say, let's go get the faith. Right? Because all that Jesus has said, it is faith that gets it done. Are you listening? It is faith that gets it done. And we looked at plenty of scriptures, that was on Sunday, to see that for the believer, that's why you are called the believer. You are called a believer because you have faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say it again, I have faith. Hallelujah. Okay. Ephesians 4 and 5 says what? One faith. So we all have one faith, the same faith. Galatians 2:20 says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That was Paul. And why did he say so? He was not giving a record of himself. He was giving a record of himself in Christ. Hallelujah. So if it's a record of himself in Christ, it's your record too. Praise God. 2 Peter 1 and 1. Peter calls it the like precious faith. Romans 1:12. Paul says the mutual faith of you and me. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. It says we having the same spirit of faith. Praise God. Say I have the same spirit of faith. Hallelujah. We look at plenty of other scriptures. Titus 1 and 4. It says the common faith. Hallelujah. It's common to all. The pastor does not have a bigger one than you. Amen. We all have the same faith. Hallelujah. And it's the faith of the Son of God. We looked at many other scriptures, about 10. But let's go ahead. Now, you have the same faith. You have the faith of the Son of God. So, what you should bother your mind about should be verse 23 now, right? Okay, Jesus, talk to me. I have that faith you are talking about. So what did you say we should do again? Okay, say to this mountain, get out. Don't doubt. But believe that what you keep saying will come to pass. You have whatever you say. But let's go this line this morning, okay? And let's go this line. 2 Corinthians 4. We quoted it already, but let's just start from there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, are believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So he says, we have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. So faith will be the vehicle to receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Faith, or let's say it like this, faith, since we are believers, was that vehicle by which we received the promise of the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit was promised, and we by faith received the Spirit. Are you following? Go to Romans 5. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So, chapter 5 verse 1 now says, therefore, based on what I have said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification came to us by faith. He was justified for us, or he was delivered for our offenses rather, and raised for our justification. So in being raised, produced justification for us. But he now says, based on his resurrection that made available justification, we are justified by faith. Are you listening? In other words, what is he saying? We are justified by believing in his resurrection. Okay? So faith brought about resurrection. Faith brought about the Spirit. Alright? So, what am I saying? That what Jesus did, you received it by faith. Is that simple? You received it by faith. From what we've read so far, what did you receive? The Spirit. And then, Romans 5, justification. In other words, if you understand what I'm saying, justification will be to justify. Amen. I think that's the easy way to go. Justification means to justify. Alright? Okay. So, if you're justified by faith, and you receive the Spirit by faith, how many of you know that he's saying the same thing? Not that, you know, there was a time you got justified and then afterwards you now got the Spirit. Receiving the Spirit is your justification. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what came to you came by faith. Right? Go to Ephesians 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Ephesians 2 and 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, again. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says, you were saved through faith. That is, your salvation came to you by faith. It came to you through faith. But you know what he says again? He says, faith is the gift of God to you. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is by the word of God. And what's that word of God? The message of Christ. Hallelujah. So faith came as well. Are you following? Galatians 3:25 also say that faith has come. So faith actually came. It wasn't present in you before the gospel. Are you listening? It wasn't present in you before the gospel. Faith came by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is vain, is also vain. Yea, and we have found also witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Okay? For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Verse 17, let's read together. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Can you see that? So he says that if Christ be not raised, then you don't have faith. Then you can't claim that you have faith. Right? Because your faith actually rests on the gospel. Rests on the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. That's what brought faith to you. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at this now. That faith came to you by the gospel. Are you with me? Faith came to you by the gospel. In other words, you were a sinner, but the gospel came to you. What's the gospel? The death of Christ and his resurrection. Christ's sufferings and his glory came to you, yet a sinner. And that message brought faith to you. How did the message bring faith to you? The message came and says that Christ died and was raised for your sins. Are you listening? And was raised for your sins. So, when you accept that, what happens? Faith with the message. Because what's the message that came to you? That Christ was raised from the dead for you. When such a message comes to you, you should realize that, oh, I'm dead. Right? Because somebody was raised for you. And then, oh, so there's an escape from this death that I believe in the one that was raised for me. So when I believe in him, what happens? I get raised from that dead nature, right? That dead state. I get raised. Now, what is it that raises me from the dead? The message of the event that Christ was raised for me. That is, Christ was raised in my place. Right? So, when the gospel comes, don't forget Romans 10 and 17, it comes with the faith. And the faith will come to you by what? You hearing. Hearing what? The message that he was raised for you. Are you listening? So when you hear that message, faith from the message comes to you. Are you listening? So what did the message come to do? The message came to raise you from the dead. What kind of dead? Death. Spiritual death. So the message came to raise your spirit from spiritual death. And by you hearing, faith comes, the message raises you from the dead. If you are with me, say amen. Okay. So up until this point, your spirit is alive now, and what has happened as well? Faith has come to your spirit. Hallelujah. Faith arrived your spirit safely. Listen. If you were here when we were dealing with the constraint of man's existence, we would try to use that series now. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy. Now I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. So, man is spirit, soul, and body. That is man. Man's entire being is spirit, soul, and body. But at salvation, what do we find? Faith goes straight into your spirit. Romans 12:3. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, if the Bible talks like this, when it does not look at everybody's walk with God and makes a general statement, it means that thing, irrespective of how you behave, it's there already. Hello? Are you with me? So, if the Bible says we have faith, yet a believer shows up and he looks like doubt personified, faith is there. And what does that mean? It means that faith is resident in his spirit. But man is spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Man is spirit, soul, and body. That's the being of man. And that's how man functions. You can't be on this earth if you don't have a body. Once you don't have a body, what does that mean? It means you've left already. Hallelujah. So, man's existence is in spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus says, you, man, spirit, soul, and body, have the faith of God. Are you there? Have the faith of God. And then he now says, whosoever shall say, and will not doubt in his heart. And what we saw from Bible, what is the heart? The heart is what? The spirit and the soul. Hallelujah. That is the man inside. The core existence of man. The being within this body. Hallelujah. So, in the heart is spirit and soul. And then Jesus says, have the faith of God. So you say, Jesus, I have it. Great! Let me tell you further. Whosoever shall say, Jesus, faith is in my spirit. Okay, so I need to talk, okay? So that means I'll use my body, right? Hello? I'll use my body. I'll use my mind. Whosoever shall say, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Now, doubt. Where? In his heart. Are you listening? But the heart constitutes what? Of what? Spirit and soul. Now, what Jesus did in you, in your spirit, is it temporal or eternal? Hello? Is it temporal or eternal? So, if I say that you cannot doubt in your spirit, would you agree with me? Hello? Would you agree with me? Faith is there. Praise God. So, don't doubt in your heart. Spirit, no issue. Soul, there can be issue. Hallelujah. So, you have to take heed. And look at that, okay, I am spirit, soul, and body. Faith is in my spirit. But Jesus says, don't doubt in your heart. Matthew tells us that Jesus said, either it's faith or it's doubt. So for the believer, no problem in the spirit. But I say to you that there can be problem in the soul. I'm sure you know that already. But shall believe that what he says will come to pass, you would have whatever you say. Why is that written that way? To show you that faith is, or the working of faith rests on man's convictions. Are you there? Okay, faith will speak and then it will have it. And then I have faith, so I will just be speaking and be having it. How many of you talk without knowing? Hello? You talk without knowing. As you raise your hand, just come out. Let's pray for you. Stretch forth our hands and our legs so that it will come out in four places. And then what is in you will come out. You talk deliberately. You just sit down somewhere and just say, eh? I'm talking already. Does that happen? No. So, now see something. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Why? With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is this how you got saved? Hello? Is this how you got saved? But the Bible also says that we were saved by faith. Are you there? So, our salvation wasn't just that some substance called faith just came and just, and we just realized, we are saved. What did you have to do? You had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That is what it means to be saved by faith. Are you there? So, you were saved by faith by what? Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Why believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth? Because you will accept a message in your heart, be convinced, and it will come out of your mouth. How many of you know that you say the things that you believe? How many of you know that? You say the things that you believe. The things that you believe will find it in your words. If you are in a word church, sorry, that's how we say it these days. If you are in a word church and you hear word per second, if you believe that you are from a poor background and it's affecting you even in your existence now, what will happen? We'll be hearing it in your words. Because that's what exists in your heart. Matthew 12 and 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. So you were saved by faith. That is, believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. Hallelujah. What did you confess with the mouth? The Lord Jesus. How many of us were around at the weekend? We must understand what it means to say Jesus is Lord now. You know, so when you confess the Lordship of Jesus, what are you doing? You are saying with your mouth that you are convinced of the sacrifice that paid for your sins. Hallelujah. So, faith will be to believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. Are you with me? Now, let's quickly run through some examples. Time is running. Mark 5. Praise God. Mark 5, 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, are you following? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she said, after she heard a message about Jesus, if I touch his clothes. Now, why would she say this if she is not, let's say it like this, getting convinced in her heart that this Jesus actually has what it takes to heal me? If I just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, let's continue. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and seest thou who touched thee, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, what? Thy faith hath made thee whole. What of this? Daughter, my virtue has made you whole. Are you thinking? But he said, thy faith has made you whole. And from where we are reading, Jesus had not died. So she can't say she has faith. Are you with me? Hello. She can't say she has faith. But Jesus says, thy faith. So, how many of you believe she has faith? Hallelujah. No response. You are forgetting where we are coming from. What is faith? To believe in the heart and say with the mouth. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus said, thy faith, what was Jesus referring to? You believe in the heart and you said it. That which you have said, you have it. That has made you whole. Are you listening? Let's look at some examples. You will see the experience. You can read Matthew's experience, not Matthew's account rather, of this experience in Matthew 9. It would help you for that, but because of time. But in this same Mark 5, there's also another experience. If you look at from verse 21, we won't read that, you know, it came, okay, when Jesus was, and behold, there cometh, that's verse 22, cometh the rulers of synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, fell at his feet and said, okay, my daughter lieth at the point of death. Okay, so as they were going, the woman with the issue of blood came and got her own healing. Hallelujah. You know, that's why we say today, which is true, that faith gives direction to the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It gives direction to the power of God. They say that the power of God was going to Jairus' house, but the woman with the issue of blood came behind the press and redirected power. Hallelujah. By what? Faith. Now, see something. Go to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is what? Dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what did he say? He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, hey, there is a message that has come. What's the message? Your daughter is already dead. So the master cannot help you again. And Jesus stopped that information in his tracks. Say, stop there. Don't be afraid. Because in your mind, my daughter is dying. Come quickly, heal her. And somebody comes and says, he didn't even say, what are we going to do now? She's dead though. He gave him information to be afraid. He didn't just break the news of the death. He said, don't trouble the master again. In other words, she's dead. Let her go. And Jesus said, stop it there. Don't be afraid. Only believe. So, faith comes by hearing the word. How does fear come? Hearing the word. And he said the word of God. Hallelujah. So, words will come to you. Just like we said earlier, the tree will speak, the mountain will speak, the events will speak, the exams will speak. Hallelujah. The empty account will speak. You want to buy something, 5,000 naira, and your account is zero. Do you know what that is saying? As you are, you don't have the purchasing power to get this thing. Hey, stop there! I will not only get this thing, I'll start giving it out without collecting money. Hallelujah! You stop fear in its tracks. Hey! Stop there. Because once you allow it to come, what happens? Doubt shows up. And then you withdraw from faith and you settle in fear. So he says, only believe. And it's, hey! Don't take that message. You already came to me that I am able to heal your daughter. Let's continue on that wise. And what happened? Went there, raised the daughter, that will not be able to go through all the story. And he got there and he said that she's not dead, but she sleeps. What is that to do to inspire faith? To inspire faith. Master. She has died. I'm sorry I couldn't come early. If you had come here last night, maybe you would have still healed her. She has died. There's nothing you can do. God give her, God take it. Master, go. Thank you, Master, for coming. Master, will you eat? Master, how has your journey been? Master, let's go and sit down. Let's go and sit down. Oh, Master. What's that? A conviction in the heart that nothing can be done about this issue. And what will happen? You would never find faith in the mouth. Are you there? Okay, look at Mark 7. Just two chapters ahead. From verse 25 to 30. That will be the Syrophoenician woman. And then she came and said that Jesus will cast the devil out of her daughter. Verse 27. He said, let the children first be filled. For it is not me to take the children's bread and cast the dogs. And she answered and said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this thing. Are you there? For what you said just now. That even the dogs can eat of the children's crumbs. For what you said just now, go thy way. It's done. What does that mean? If you go to Matthew 15, 22 to 28, we won't read that because time is gone. You see what Jesus said there? He said, great is thy faith. So in Mark's account, Mark said that for this thy saying. What does that mean? Matthew explains it to us and said that Jesus actually said, great is thy faith. In other words, he said again, thy faith has done what you came to ask for. Syrophoenician woman, that Jesus categorically says, see, hey, you're a Gentile. I'm only sent to the lordship of the house of Israel. And I said, yeah, I understand. that the children of Israel, they are the children and they are the ones that have the bread. The bread belongs to them. But even while the children are eating and the crumbs fall down, the dogs can at least partake. Say, it's yours then. What she said, why did she say that? She was convinced that Jesus was able to do what she desired, irrespective. So Jesus said, thy faith. What again is thy faith? What you said. How did what you said come about? What you were convinced about. If you look at Matthew 9, we'll just read this as the last, and then maybe we'll just stop there. Matthew 9. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. What is their faith? Yea, Lord. Hallelujah. What they said. And what they said is their conviction that the Lord can heal their blind sight. Are you there? So when Jesus says in the four Gospels that your faith, he's not trying to say they have some faith. Just like the centurion says, great is thy faith. All of that, see, that great faith is so inferior to your faith. But let's not go there. Why he said great faith? Because if you look at who he said great faith to, they were not of the sheep of Israel. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. So, great is thy faith. Or, according to your faith. Or, for this saying, you will have what you want. So, faith there is to believe in the heart and to say with the mouth. Are you there? Now, look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. We went there already. Let's look at it again. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. So it was written somewhere in the scriptures, of course, that I believed, therefore have I spoken. So you don't believe and be quiet. Can you remember Mark 11, 23 now? That if you will believe in your heart, you will get what you desire. You will get what you see. But notice something, that your saying is a product of your believing. Are you there? Not just some positive speaking. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. Or you fall sick and you don't come to church and you say, why didn't you come? You say, I'm strong. That's not faith. That's crap. Say you are sick. But I believe that the word says I am healed. That's better. Until the point you grow up in the word to start saying what the word says, not living in denial. We're not trying to do, what's that thing again? Abracadabra. You're lying down sick, you say, I'm healed. You say, guy, you are sick. I'm healed, sir. You are sick. I'm healed. You are sick. That's what we're not trying to do. I don't know what I'm saying again. I said, you are sick. No. It says, we believe and we speak. Now, don't forget, for us, it's where? The soul and body. There's no issue with the spirit. The soul and body. The soul and body. So, you would believe in the heart and saying with the mouth. How did you get saved? By believing in the heart and saying with the mouth. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We conduct our lives by believing in the heart and saying with the mouth. And not by sensory perceptions. Where is the heart? Inside. So what you say must come from inside and not from outside. So bank account is zero. What is inside? Not just some wishful thinking. What the word has said. So, what would you do for faith in your case to be on your heart and then in your mouth? You will feed on God's word. Are you there? It's not just some wishful, but who wants to be poor? Who wants to be sick? Both you and the unbelievers don't. So that you say, I'm not sick, or I don't want to be sick, it's not new stuff. They're not saying anything new. Nobody wants to. Hallelujah. But when what you say is based on the premise of God's word, that the word said that by his stripes I am healed, I take that into my heart, I'm convinced no matter what I see about that, I will start saying that I am healed. I cannot be sick. So faith is in your spirit. Can you get it to your soul and body? Hallelujah. You will stay in faith by what? Speaking. Those that believe speak. They don't keep quiet. Hallelujah. Those that believe speak. They don't keep quiet. We also believe and therefore speak. So yeah, there's faith in your spirit. Can we find it in your words? Can we find it in your attitude? You know, there's an attitude of faith. You come to church, you are not expecting anything. You are just waiting for the opening prayer to start. When someone else says something, which is good, and then you listen, and then you are now stirred up, oh, this is an atmosphere to receive. What's your attitude? It's an attitude of faith or of doubt. You come to church every Sunday, take the offering envelope, say, I give not to get, I give because I love God, I give because I love his work, I give because I love people. Should we open the envelope? Hello? Should we open the envelope and see how much is there? In fact, some give empty envelope. Take the empty envelope, say, I give not to get. I give because I love God. See, confession is not just saying anything. It must be from the heart to the mouth. From the heart to the mouth. Now, what will we take solace in? That the word already says so. We are already believers. Because it's possible. For example, you came into church this morning, maybe you have not even heard something that you heard today anywhere before. Maybe you have not even seen it in your Bible before. And then you are hearing it new. And as it's coming, it says that, say I'm a prosperous man. Say I'm a blessed man. See, you would say it. Why? Because it exists in the word. But don't deceive yourself. To now feel that it is saying, that is incantations, that will just make it happen. No! You will keep talking till your heart shifts that, yeah, I think I know what I'm saying now. They told me to say it in church, but now I'm convinced. Are you hearing me? But now I'm convinced. See, it's not about saying I can never be poor in my life. I can never be poor in my life. Why do you think we are saying it? Because we stay with the word. till it dawned on us that, yay! I refuse to be poor. So we are believers who walk by faith and not by sight. Irrespective of what we see. You know, if I credit your account with $1 million, you know, it's easier to say I'm blessed. Yeah. Oh, I'm a blessed man. Blessed man. It's like $200 million. What do you want to buy? Is it G-Class? About $46 million that you can't buy. Is it a house? You know, you just turn crazy. As it were, just get to a place, just buy the property, break it down, and build it again. I got what it takes. I'm a blessed man. Why? There's 200 million now. But when you check your account, and it's minus 2,000. When your confessions change, then you were never convinced. That's faith. Faith is not talking good. Even though you are not going to be in faith and be talking bad. Are you listening? Faith is not talking good. Faith is saying what the word says, irrespective of the situation. And we know that the word is good. Are you there? What has the word said about you? What have you seen in the word? A senior minister will say, when he meets people, they say they are believing God, and he says, okay, what scripture are you resting on? And they say, none in particular. I say, that's what you get. None in particular. Because faith actually begins where the will of God is known. Hallelujah. It's what the word says that makes faith active. So that's what James was saying, that faith that cannot produce works is an inoperative faith. It's just one that is just present in your spirit and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. It just abides alone. No! Get faith to your heart and to your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray for me, let's close. Just lift your hands and just bless His name.